Blog Talk Radio.
Father,
I say thank you, Father, and again I say thank you, Father. You have tuned in tonight, and we thank God for you. You have tuned in to the Warfare Hour. Hallelujah. We are broadcasting out of the Living Way Christian Center, 235 West 40th Avenue in the City of Glory, known as the City of Gary, Indiana, where Apostle Leonard Emmons is the overseer. We thank God for him opening his door to us once again. We thank God for you tuning in to the Warfare Hour here on blogtalkradio.com/Kingdom Builders International. And I'm doing it like that because I want to say thank God for Kingdom Builders and Kingdom Daughters, for Evangelist Hannah, for Prophetess Teresa, and all of the intercessors and all of those who continue to pray with us and for us as we go through every single week, preparing ourselves to share with you what God has shared with us. We thank God for you. This is the Warfare Hour, brought to you by the Warriors for Christ House of Prayer Church International Ministries, where Apostle Carlton Earl Clark Richardson, that's Carlton with a K and two N's, is pastor and overseer, and the Kingdom Atmosphere Ministries, where Prophet Corey Grady is the overseer. Hallelujah. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We here at the Warfare Hour, you know how we do it. We believe that failure is not an option because we believe that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We believe that if we trust in the Lord with all our hearts and lean not to our own understandings, but in all our ways acknowledge God, he will lead, guide, and direct our pathway strictly to the success that is already ordained for us. We believe that no weapon formed against us shall prosper, and that every tongue that rises against us in judgment will be condemned, because this is our inheritance, because our righteousness is not in ourselves, but our righteousness is of God. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and because of that, we are able to do anything we set our minds to, because God can do exceedingly abundantly above anything we can ask or think, according to our faith, the power that works in us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for giving us another opportunity to be here tonight. I tell you the truth, God is just truly, 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 truly blessing us tonight. You know, I want to take this time to go just into prayer. I know that most of the time we do a lot of talking, but I want to just go directly into prayer, because I believe that God has an awesome revelation that he wants to share with us on this evening. And the only way for us to do that is to prepare ourselves in prayer. So first and foremost, Father, as we go into this place today, this place of your presence, this place of prayer, this place of revelation, we first off repent of any and all sin that we have committed, whether known or unknown. As we often like to say, God, of commission or omission, we thank you, Father, that you have forgiven us of all sin, and that even when we were your enemies, outside of your will, you had already reconciled us unto yourself through Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, for the revelation that you have placed on our hearts, and we pray now that everyone, under the sound of our voices, would receive from you tonight, not from us, but from you. No matter if they hear our voices tonight or not, we ask that they receive from you, from your heart, the things that are necessary to guide them into the pathway of success that you have already ordained for them in their lifetime. Hallelujah. Even in our lifetimes, oh God. And we just ask right now, Father, that you rule out any and every distraction, so that every word that comes from your mouth is heard on tonight. Say this with me. Say this with me in Jesus' name. Say this with me tonight, because you know we have to say this every time so that we can open up our understanding. Say this with me. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. That's Psalm 119, verse 18. The saying of prayer that says, open my understanding that I can understand what I'm about to hear and read and pray over at this time. This is the Warfare Hour. And because we are ready for our briefing, I will say, company, up to hot. We are ready to go in for our briefing that we might be able to and plan our next strategic attack on the kingdom of darkness and be successful and be victorious in every area of our lives. Let me say this real quick. I'm really about going directly into prayer on tonight. I really believe that the Lord has unctioned me just directly into prayer. I want to go into prayer these few minutes that we have. I just want to go directly into prayer. I want to pray because this is the harvest season. I want to go into prayer for harvest, spiritual and natural. Because whatsoever things we release or loose on earth are already loosed in heaven because they're operating under God's law. So the law, which is the word of God, comes forth in our prayer as we bind up the things that would hinder us and release the things that would only help us or further us into the success that has already been ordained for our lives. And I say that constantly because what we as believers must understand is that the moment you're born, you have already fulfilled the choice of God for you. You've been chosen by God. You've been purposed by God here for this special time. So because you're here and because you're purposed for this special time, God has already had a plan of success for you since before the day you were born. Now all you have to do is live your life according to his word and according to his guidance, and you're already successful. You're already walking the path of success. God ordained a path of success for you. That path of success for you is already in his word. My job as a minister of the gospel or a minister of this work is to help you understand that you've already been chosen for success. So because of that, I'm going to continue to say that these are the things that are going to help you on your path to success that God has already ordained for your life. Hallelujah. Listen, it's the harvest season, so let's go forth in prayer for this harvest season that we may receive our harvest, both spiritual and natural. Listen, let's go into prayer. Father, I thank you that you have given me the Joseph and harvest anointing. I thank you that you have made me a spiritual farmer, that I may sow spiritual things for you. I thank you that I minister the holy things, and I will eat of the things of the temple. I thank you that I have been given entire fields to sow. I thank you that I have bought additional fields from others, and they work to farm the ground on my behalf. I thank you that I receive a portion of their harvest, because I am their landlord, title holder, and deed holder. I thank you that you have selected and have given me good ground, that I was given the best lands, land that flow with milk and honey. I thank you that my soil contains perfect nutrients conducive to abundant growth and life. Now, mind you, I'm praying this prayer, but I want you to understand as I continue in this prayer that you put your name on this prayer. As we continue forth, put your name on this prayer. This is the harvest anointing prayer for you. Hallelujah. I thank you that my gardens have no pests in them, nothing that will choke out or eat of my fruits, vegetation, harvest, or increase. I thank you that my soil is tilled and aerated every season. I thank you that I shall be a partaker of hope, because I plow in hope and flesh in hope. I thank you that I have a disease-free garden. Father, I thank you that you have given me good seed to sow. I thank you that the seed that I sow, I have sown, are as super seeds. They are bigger and richer. I thank you that the seed that you have given me is as perennial seed, that never dies, but comes back thicker and stronger every year. I thank you that you are superior in every way and that you know all the secrets to farming and life. I thank you that you teach me to do as you do, and I do only the things that I have seen you do, Father. Father, I thank you that you provide the perfect amount of rain and sunshine so that my plants will grow and flourish in the absolute best conditions. I thank you that you have driven out the serpent from my garden, along with any disobedient spirits that would cause destruction to me and my harvest. I place cherubim at the east of my garden and a flaming sword which turns every way to guard the way to my spiritual garden. Father, I thank you for my seed time and harvest time. I speak to my gardens and say, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself. Father, let every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. I bless all that I have, possessions, gardens, lands, and spiritual blessings, and I say, be fruitful and multiply. I thank you that my seeds produce harvests that are 30, 60, and 100 fold. I thank you that my harvest comes back stronger, thicker, and more bountiful and plentiful every year. I thank you that I have so much harvest that I can store it into my barns as Joseph did for the king in Egypt, so that those from afar off can come to me and be blessed because I have so much in abundance. I thank you that you have made me a good steward over all that I have and have given me a good shepherd's heart. I thank you for the seventh year anointing, which is that abundant harvest. I thank you that in 2012 I live in abundance and that I have more than what I would have had thanks to your open doors, windows, and poured out blessings. I thank you that I have so many blessings that I do not have room enough to receive them all. I thank you that I am a billionaire and have preserved all that you have given unto me. I thank you that I am a lender and not a borrower. I thank you that I am the head and not the tail. I thank you that I am above and not beneath. I thank you that I have more than what I've sown and greater than what I've sown because of your increase and favor, God, in my life. I thank you that your thoughts toward me are yea and amen. I thank you that every good and perfect gift is from above and comes down from you, the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Father, I thank you that as my Father, you desire to give me good gifts. Father, I thank you that on this day, October 11, 2012, we will enter the seventh year and will reap from the fulfillment of all the good seed that was sown on my behalf. Father, I thank you that you have made my garden to be as the Garden of Eden. I thank you that you have driven out the serpent from my garden along with any disobedient and unholy spirit that would cause destruction to me and my heart. I thank you that you have not allowed the enemy to go into my garden at night and sow tares. I thank you that the cherubim stand at the east gate and have successfully protected the way to my garden. I thank you that you will allow the reapers to separate any tares that surround me, my family, and my harvest, and they will gather them into bundles and burn them. I thank you that your winnowing fan is in your hand and that you will thoroughly clean out your threshing floor and gather your wheat into the barn that will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. I thank you. Thank you, Father, that the tares have not caused harm to my family, my harvest, or me. I thank you that you have rebuked the devourer for your name's sake. I thank you that you have prepared for me a table in the presence of my enemies. I thank you that my tribulation has caused me to produce great fruit, and I have triumphed and prospered over my enemies because of my faith in you and the precious blood of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. I thank you that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. I thank you that my ladder shall be greater than my past. I thank you that you have given me more abundance than Job, with none of the heartache or loss. I thank you that you have not allowed me to be blinded by the cares of this world. I thank you that I store up my treasures in heaven, where neither rust nor moth will destroy them. I thank you that I will not return unto you void. That's right, I will not return unto you void, but I will accomplish the purpose for which you have sent me. I thank you that you have given me the keys to the kingdom. How precious are your thoughts to me. Oh God, how great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am with you. In the name of Jesus Christ, I thank you that this harvest shall be my great harvest. In Jesus' name, I present to you Apostle Carson Earl Clark Richards.
Hallelujah. Glory to your wonderful and precious name, O God. We thank you for allowing us to come together and just to be here among the saints, O God. And we pray that there is no ain'ts on the line, O God, but nothing but saints, nothing but kingdom-minded warriors, those that want to gut the enemy or cut him from the ruler to the tutor. Mm-hmm. Oh, God, that you lop his head off, Father, and put it in a sack and place it on a pole and carry it around, drag it through the streets, oh, God. Because that's kind of where we are right now, oh God. And, you know, we recognize that the enemy does not like us. He's trying to destroy our families. And we, every week, have to come back and continue to pray a harmonious marriage prayer just to keep our own selves in check, oh God. We recognize even when we pray these prayers, oh God, that sometimes we pray these things that are not as though they are. Well, you have said in your word, Father, for us to do these things, because you said in Hebrews 11:1 that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so, Father, we pray these things knowing, declaring, and decreeing that it is so. Well, you said that whatsoever we say on the earth or whatsoever we speak on the earth, you told us to ask, you told us to bind, you told us to loose. So whatsoever we loose on the earth is loosed in heaven. Whatsoever we bind on the earth is bound in heaven. And as we continue in our prayer, oh God, our harmonious marriage prayer is one that applies to all. And we say it because we are married to you, oh God, as the bride, the apostolic and the prophetic. As well as the natural, oh God, we continue to be married unto you and even our natural marriage. So those that are unmarried in the natural are able to pray this prayer, to continue to stay in this prayer, to declare it, decree it, and be blessed. For we will not be the majority any longer. We declare and decree right now that we will not be the majority of divorce. We declare and decree it even right now. We declare and decree that we will be married to you, and that those of us that are the backslider, you say you're married to the backslider.
Hallelujah.
And so we recognize that we've not lived up to those things that we said we were going to do all the time, but yet you still throw our sins in the sea of forgetfulness. And so as we prepare our hearts, our minds, our soul, and our spirit to join in, touch, and agree concerning this harmonious marriage prayer, which is of a man and a woman, mm-hmm. and is of a man being married as a prophetic to the apostolic, to the chief apostle, Jesus Christ. The harmonious marriage, Father, in the name of Jesus, it is written in your word that your love is shed abroad in our hearts, O God, by the Holy Ghost, who is given to us. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Because you are in us, we acknowledge that love reigns supreme, O God. We believe that love is displayed in full expression, enfolding and knitting us together in truth, making us perfect. Yes, O God, perfect as the first Adam was.
Hallelujah. Glory to your wonderful and magnificent name. We recognize, O God, that without you we are nothing. And we recognize, Father, that because of the glorious,
honorably and becomingly. We esteem it as precious, worthy, and of great price, O God. We commit ourselves to live in mutual harmony and accord with one another, delighting in each other, being of the same mind and united in spirit. Father, we believe and say that we are gentle. Father, we believe and say that we are compassionate. Father, we believe and say that we are courteous. Father, we believe and say that we are tender-hearted and humble-minded. Oh, God, we seek peace. And it keeps our hearts in quietness and assurance because we follow after love and we dwell in peace. Our prayers are not hindered in any way in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, by the blood of Jesus, the good, acceptable, and perfect will of yours, the great I am. And we recognize you, oh, God, for that. As we continue to declare and decree that our marriage of the apostolic and of the prophetic, but especially of the natural, O God, grows stronger day by day in the bond of unity, because it is founded on your word and is rooted and grounded in your love. We decree this day, I say again, we decree this day, yes, O God, we decree this day, we have a marriage of the apostolic and of the prophetic, but again, especially of the natural, O God, made in heaven. Father, we thank you for the performance of it in Jesus Christ of Nazareth's precious name, O God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, amen, amen, and amen. And we recognize, O God, that you've given us scripture references, and so we want to make sure that everyone knows that this is divinely inspired by you. These scripture references are Romans 5 and 5, Philippians 1 and 9, Colossians 3 and 14, Colossians 1 and 10, Philippians 2 and 13, Philippians 2 and 2, Ephesians 4 and 32, Isaiah 32 and 17, Philippians 4 and 7, 1 Peter 3 and 7, Ephesians 3 and 13, as well as verse 17, and Jeremiah 1 and 12. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As we continue, even here, this apostolic and prophetic covenant, we continue to stand and fight for marriage right now in the name of Jesus Christ. And we will continue in praying over marriage. Listen, put yourself and your spouse or yourself and your covenant with Christ in this prayer as we go forward. As I stand for my marriage, Father, I ask you to guard my heart against bitterness, unforgiveness, anger, resentment, and all the doors the enemy of my marriage covenant would use to destroy that very covenant. In the name of Jesus Christ, I repent of all emotions and thoughts not beneficial to the growth and success of my marriage. I ask, Father, that you renew my mind and my heart in relation to my spouse. Create unity in our covenant with regard to each other that has not previously existed, transforming the two to one flesh. In the name of Jesus, I fervently renounce and reject the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. No influence shall take me from my marriage but the hand of God. No influence shall take me from my marriage. I bind the agents of sabotage that stand against my marriage covenant. And in Jesus' name, I loose the joy of the Lord over my marriage in every way and every area. In the name of Jesus, I completely reject, stand against, and bind any schism, division, or insanity coming against my marriage. And I loose the very unity of the Godhead into my marriage covenant in the name of Jesus Christ. My wife is my glory. My wife is my glory. Listen, men, married men, my wife is my glory, and I shall care for her as I care for myself. Women, you don't say that you are the glory of your husband. So in that, my wife is my glory, and she shall honor me as unto the Lord. Outside of the external work of the Lord, that is fasting and prayer, evangelism, the preaching of the gospel and outreach, my power over my body is given to my spouse. In the name of Jesus Christ, Father, teach me about my spouse that I may dwell with her or him properly, according to your word, that my prayers to you are not hindered. Let my interactions with my spouse be the product of the Holy Spirit's intercession on my behalf. In the name of Jesus, Father, I lay down my life for my spouse, knowing that this is the greatest love I can give. I follow the example of Christ toward his bride, the church. Let this love be acceptable to you in the name of Jesus Christ, Father. I only desire good for my spouse, and I will honor you by honoring my spouse in the name of Jesus. Father, I sincerely desire good for my spouse, and I will honor you by honoring my spouse in the name of Jesus. Every weapon created for the destruction of my marriage will fail at its task. No tongue that speaks against my marriage covenant will succeed, for the word of God regarding my marriage will achieve its purpose, and my marriage will achieve its purpose in God through Jesus Christ. Because I have found my wife, my good thing, I declare and decree the favor of the Lord promised to me to come to me in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, I repent of every word spoken out of my mouth for the death of my marriage. I bind the failure and dissolution of my marriage in the name of Jesus, and I speak and loose the abundant life over my marriage covenant in the name of Jesus. I overthrow and cast down every thought and plan of the enemy of my marriage. He has no entry or permission in my house or my marriage covenant. All that he has stolen, the time, life, love, joy, peace, and unity, I command to return twofold in Jesus' name. I further declare my marriage needs met, that is, shelter, food, clothing, water and sanitation, affection, and financial security and stability in the name of Jesus. My faith in God manifests in wholeness and completion in Jesus' name. Father, I release the full authority and ability of your power over my marriage in Jesus' name. Where I am weak, endow me with strength of faith. And where there is unbelief, Father, help me with my unbelief that my marriage only breathes and achieves its destined success. Let the word of God manifest in healing and divine health over my marriage. Bind with the stripes of Jesus, my spouse and I are healed. Father, I walk in your image and I establish the new Jerusalem for my spouse. In the name of Jesus, I call out all that which my spouse needs for a life of peace and rest in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Men and women of God, we are doing some new things. We're doing some things to allow you to understand where we're coming from concerning those things that God is key about. We've been talking about the man being a man that follows Christ, that is rooted and grounded in the word of God, how he is a blessing to the family. This all, we talked about it the last few weeks. We're not going to go back into it, but just to remind you that A righteous father is a blessing to the family, and you can find that in Psalms 112, verses 1 through 4. We also talked about that there was 10,000 teachers, but not many fathers. And so we send you again to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 14 and verse 15. But we always end up going back to the beginning, because Genesis, the first chapter, verse 26, is where God is a father, God is a son, God is a Holy Spirit, said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. And when he did that, he gave man some marching orders. He told man what he wanted man to do. And man, at that one time, was a perfect being. That was Adam. That was Adam before the fall. And remember, we've been praying about, bless us, O Lord, as Adam was blessed before the fall. And we said, bless us, O Lord, as Abram was. And we've said, bless us as Jesus is. And then we've gone to the scripture that tells us that we, when we follow God, that we'll be able to get favor from God and from men. And so we're going back again to the beginning. The man of God, the prophet, has got some wonderful things for you. I know we've got some more prayers, but I wanted to just tell you a few things about. We've been studying about the pre-existing Christ. And I've been studying using a different kind of Bible, the Rees's Chronological Bible. And I recommend to those of you that it's a must-have to your repertoire. It kind of breaks things down and gives you kind of a chronological order, which is a step-by-step from the beginning view of the Bible. Because this is the basic instruction before leaving Earth. Many times as we go through Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, all the way through the 66 books of the known Bible, we end up going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth, finding information and putting it in a perspective. Well, they've already done that. Rees is just one of the authors with him and his team that have come together and put it together. And it's a pretty good tool for you. But in this Bible, just to show you, it talks about the pre-existing Christ. You know, Christ was here before the earth. Then it talks about the creation, because there was declarations. And then it talks about Satan being cast out of heaven, and then the judgment of creation. And so I just want to touch on that just very briefly. In the pre-existing era, John 1 and 1 is the first book or the first scripture in the Rees's Chronological Bible. And it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. That's John chapter 1, verse 1 and verse 2. And then it goes over to Psalms 90. And it says, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. See, we're talking about the pre-existent Christ in the earth. And the origin of the creation began right there. That's when Genesis, the first chapter, and verse 1, as we know it in the King James Bible, says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, here is where, you know, a lot of people don't know a lot of this, because verse 2 in the original King James verse said, and the earth was without form and void. But what happened was a whole lot of stuff happened between Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, and Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. And this is that time again, during this harvest season, that we remind you, because we're coming up on this Halloween time where the enemy thinks that he is in control, because that's his strongest time of the year, because even Christians are running around buying going to Halloween parties and going on cruises, Halloween cruises, going on Halloween cruises and dressing their children up as angels, having a holy night on the same night as Halloween. But what they're doing is they're doing the same things that the people in the world are doing, because they're giving out goodies. And so we're bringing this up to you because over the next few weeks, you're going to find yourself, if you're a man or woman of God, being attacked. Don't think that you're going to be able to just have a free and easy life when you profess that God is your king and he is your savior, he is your Lord, and he is your master. We need to tell you the truth. We sugarcoat anything and let you believe that you got a free ride. No, God has given us a command to repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. He told us to do what? Cast out devils. Our main job is to cast out devils, lay hands on the sick, so that they will recover. Mm-hmm. We're supposed to take care of the widows and the orphans. He is a champion for the orphans. And so what happened was, since we're talking about the chronological Bible, if you go to Isaiah, the 14th chapter, beginning at verse 12, say, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations?" Verse 13, "For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north." Verse 14, "I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." Verse 15, "Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall barely look upon thee and consider thee, saying, Is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners?" Men and women of God, what you need to understand, that this Old Testament, turn to John, I think I got this right, John the third chapter, and verse 13. Read that for me, man of God, when you find that. While he's looking for that, I'm going to continue in Ezekiel, and I'm just giving you some food for thought. 3:13. Here you go.
Amen. In the King James, John 3:13 reads, "And no man has ascended up to heaven."
Hold it. What did that say? Read that again, real slow.
Yes. Okay. "And no man has ascended up to heaven." Nobody has ascended to heaven. No human being has ascended to heaven. And we ain't talking about to the sky, because we all know that America and other countries have put people on the moon. So we're not talking about that. What we're talking about is no human being in your human body has ascended to the throne of God.
Now, I'm saying that because what I just read to you out of Isaiah, he said, "I will ascend above the heights of the clouds." This is what Satan or Lucifer was saying. I mean, he got beside himself. We go over to Ezekiel, the 28th chapter. We're gonna talk about that. But I'm gonna let the man of God finish reading that scripture, and then I'm gonna tell you where I'm going.
Okay. So for your understanding, let's go into the Amplified. "And yet no one has ever gone up to heaven, but there is one who has come down from heaven, the Son of Man himself, who is who dwells and has his home in heaven. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, this is verse 14, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert on a pole, so is it necessary that the Son of Man be lifted up on the cross.
We're talking about lifting up. Lifting up and ascension is so key. It's tied in together. Okay? Now, you can't ascend up to heaven if you didn't come from heaven. As I was reading, that's why I began where I began. It said, in the beginning was the Word. Okay, all the scriptures that I have read says that the Word is who? Jesus the Christ. And that the Word was with God. So, and that the Word was God. So it's talking about God as the Father and God as the Son right there together. The same was in the beginning with God. Now, well, I also, if you read verse 3, I didn't go into verse 3 because the declaration, according to the Bible, the declaration came next. We said before the mountains were brought forth. See, it's letting you know that, hey, It's an order. There's an order to everything, even to the creation. And when you begin in Genesis and say, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, as glorious as that sounds, and as wonderful and true as that is, that wasn't the very first thing that occurred. Let me share something to you. You can't really put a beginning to God. That's why you'll hear in this, the way we're going to be describing things, that it talks about eternity past. See, man in his finite being cannot comprehend the ways of an infinite God. In some areas where the Bible is silent, we will have to wait until eternity future to get a lot of answers. Many scholars believe that Satan was cast out of heaven, causing a perfect earth to become void and chaotic, and thus causing havoc with the creation with God. But this happened really, when you look back on it, people keep saying 2,000 years, but it's more like 6,000 years, because a whole lot of stuff happened between verse 1 in the King James, as it's written, and verse 2. As I just read to you, which was in Isaiah, Satan was cast out of heaven. He was given the name Satan, changed from Lucifer to Satan, and cast out of heaven because of these declarations that he began to make. And we can get cast out. We can be turned over to a reprobate mind. I found out something by teaching a Bible study with one of my grandsons earlier this week. It's a lot of people that don't know about hell, nor do they believe that there is a hell. And so we need to begin to talk about who hell is for, who it was designed for, and that there is a hell. It was not designed for man. It was designed for Lucifer, renamed as Satan, and his minions, those that were cast out with him. Ezekiel 28 verse talks about what happened in the garden. It said, thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. God made Lucifer beautiful. He gave him all the precious stones
and the gold and the pipes. It goes on to say in verse 14, which is Ezekiel 28, that thou art the anointed cherub. He was given his name, was, his title was the anointed cherub that covereth. Oh, my God. The anointed cherub that covereth. And I have set thee so thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Now, you got to go and all the way through the Bible to find out what the stones of fire is. We're not going to go there right now. But there's we try to put a picture here together for you. Verse 15, thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou was created till iniquity was found in thee. Now, we're talking about Lucifer, the enemy now known as Satan. This is what God was saying about him, and he gave this vision to the prophet Ezekiel. So when they say that prophets don't have a meaning and a reason to be, this was Old Testament, but guess what? We are to verify. The prophets of today, the apostles of today are to verify everything of the word. If it don't line up with the word, then we are false. Everything that we say, you can check it out through the word. If it don't line up, then you know that we don't know what the heck we're talking about. Verse 16, Ezekiel 28. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence. When you begin to turn against God, your perfectness goes away. And thou hast sinned. And once sin gets in, and especially for those of us that's in a position of authority, remember now, God made man and gave man authority. He gave him two kinds of power, exousia
and dunamis.
He gave him authority. And he also gave him natural strength or ability to take care of the thing. He gave him the authority of God, gave man the authority of God to do it, and the power of God to accomplish it. Therefore, I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God. When you begin to sin, you can get to a point where God wants to spew you. He said, that's why he said, be either cold or hot. Because when you look warm, when you got your feet over here in the good side and your feet over here in the bad side, you say, that vomits me. That upset my stomach so bad that I'll spew you out of my mouth. Say, I will destroy thee, O covering cherub. I will destroy thee from the midst of the stones of the fire. So you need to know what the stones of the fire. I'm giving y'all some homework. Find out what the stones of the fire are, because I'm sure that you probably haven't heard about it in a long time. Go back and do. Remember, we ought to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly or righteously dividing the word of truth. Verse 17 of Ezekiel 28 says, thy heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. See, some of us is good looking men and women. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom. See, you got wisdom and knowledge, but your understanding allows you to get corrupted because of your beauty. Verse 17 again, thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. Ooh. See, when you're beautiful, you look good, you shine. Remember that song, Shine on Me, Shine on Me. Now, what's that that you're asking to shine? All of you. Because the light from the lighthouse, what is the lighthouse? Say, Jesus said he is the light, the way, the truth, and the light, it says in some instances, it says, and the life. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee, and it shall devour thee. I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. He's going to make a public spectacle of you. I'm going to give it over to the man of God, because he over here chomping at the bit.
He's going to make a public spectacle out of you. That's what the word said. The word said that Jesus Christ made a public spectacle out of Satan when he conquered death, hell, and the grave. That's what the Bible says. So we have this mandate to uphold the victory of Jesus Christ in the earth realm over Satan, our enemy. And we do this, and we do this as a segue in with the weaponry that's afforded us. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5, the Bible says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. Listen, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God. The works of the devil. So it's not us. But our weapons are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Satan, who was then known as Lucifer, tried to exalt himself over God. That was his problem. That is how he was defeated. That is how he was cast out of heaven, because he tried to exalt himself over God. And when you operate in the very same vanity and folly, you bring that very same calamity on yourself by trying to exalt yourself over God casting down imagination. And every high, so in other words, in your own image, in your own imagination, you think you're greater than God. Well, that's where your folly begins. That's where the foolishness of your life begins. And it's because of that foolishness that sin enters. And when sin enters, it causes your destruction or your casting out. Every high thing that is lost is up against the knowledge of God. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Our job as believers is to believe. And as believers, our mindset is that of Christ. So every weapon that we have is not a natural weapon. It's not a human-made weapon. It is a spiritual weapon. It's a weapon that is inside of your mind. That's why the enemy attacks your mind before he attacks any other part of you. Because in your mind, when you start thinking of your own beauty, you start thinking of your own vanity, your own highness, you start operating in a false sense of what we call reality. Because real reality understands that it is unto the Father that we must bring ourselves and hold ourselves true. Nobody else but the Father. Yes, we're supposed to love one another. We are supposed to love one another, but that is how we keep ourselves accountable unto God. That's how we show ourselves as believers in God and believers in the Lord Jesus, that we show forth our love. And it's because of that love that God continues to keep us. It was Satan's vanity that caused him to be cast away, to suffer a fate worse than death. His vanity caused him to be separated from our God.
Hallelujah. And the reason that all of this is important is because the last days, you say the first should be last and the last should be first. Some of the same things that happened in the beginning, it came all the way back around full tilt, and it's happening again now. And I showed you earlier that we're reading out of the Reese Chronological Bible, and we're comparing it with the King James Version of the Bible, where it says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And then verse 2 says, and the earth was without form and void. We haven't even got to that yet, because in the Reese's Bible, it's got John 1 and 1 and 2. Then it goes to Psalms 90. It says, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth. Then it goes back to Genesis 1. It says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. Then it goes to Isaiah the 14th and says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? Because you need to know what was going on. Then Ezekiel really, like, brought it out more, what Isaiah was saying. And then we go back to Genesis 1 and verse 2, and it says, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And it was because of what had happened with Lucifer. Then we go to Jeremiah, the 4th chapter, and it confirms that the earth was formless. Verse 23 of Jeremiah 4 says, and I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form and void. See, everything that's written, it's always, you say, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, establish everything so that you know that it is a true thing. Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 23 says, I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form and void, and the heavens, and they had no light. Now, in Genesis, it goes right into the things about, and God, the darkness was on the face of the deep, and God said, let there be light. But a whole bunch of other stuff was happening first that had to be talked about. You need to know these things happened and that they went on. Verse 24 said, I beheld the mountains, and lo, they trembled. God was mad. And all the hills moved lightly. He was building up to a frenzy. As you know, we call them earthquakes now, but it's really God quakes. Verse 25, I beheld, and lo, there was no man, and all the birds of the heaven were fled. Verse 26, I beheld, and lo, the fruitful places was a wilderness, and all the cities there were broken down at the presence of the Lord and by his fierce anger. But the creation of habitation is talked about in Isaiah, the 45th chapter. It said, for thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it, he had established it, he created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. Ooh, I am the Lord. That's why when God gave the commandments, the first thing he said was, thou shalt what? Have no other God before me.
He said, I am the Lord. Thou shalt have no other. I am the Lord, period.
Yes. Genesis, the 2nd chapter, said, these are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. That's what the Genesis, the 2nd chapter, starts with. So what I'm trying to say to you, men and women of God, you say, okay, Apostle, where are you going? I'm glad you asked. Because then we start talking about the first 5 days, the things that God began to create. But just on the first day, Genesis 1 and verse 2, say, and the Spirit of God now, after all of that, the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. So he already moved on the earth, and you saw what happened when the Spirit of God moved on the earth. It was trembling. Now it's moved upon the waters. That's what tsunamis and all those kinds of things again. That's why God said to Noah that he will not again.
That's right.
He will not again destroy the earth
water.
With water.
Hallelujah. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And we're going to stop right there and go on. Here is saying that God saw light, that it was good.
Amen, amen. And because it was good, he continued to move forward in his operation. He continued to move forth in his operation. Listen, listen. And because the Lord has said it was good, can we make this declaration to you who also are good in the sight of the Lord? This is a declaration of the Lord made to you, his people. Listen, for I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, says the Lord, thoughts and plans for welfare and peace and not for evil, to give you hope in your final outcome. Then you will call upon me, and you will come and pray to me, and I will hear and heed you. Then you will seek me, inquire for, and require me as a vital necessity, and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will release you from captivity and gather you from all the nations and all the places to which I have driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back to the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive. That's Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 11 through 14. This is a good thing. This is the good. This is good because God created everything, and everything he created he called good. And he has good things in store for you, good things planned out for you. Good things planned out for you, good things in store for you. Amen, amen. Listen, God is well able to move on your behalf. He's spoken it to you through the mouth of the prophet in the 29th chapter of Jeremiah. He spoke it out. We've spoken it to you in the declarations and decrees that we have made. And so now we're gonna give you some time as we move forward in this time that we share with you. So we're gonna give you some time to think, because we're gonna raise a question to you after all is done.
Amen. Matthew 16 chapter, verse 18, part C and verse 19 say, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, which is the church or the Congress of God on the earth or in the earth. Saying, I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Ezekiel, the 22nd chapter and verse 30, things was going so bad, and you know, he said, and I saw four men among them that should make up the heads and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none, because there was none worthy before Jesus came. Hallelujah. Even the Lord always wanted us to continue to communicate with him. You know, even all of the kings, you know, 2 Chronicles, the 7th chapter and verse 14 say, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. Matthew 7 chapter and verse 7 tells us to ask. Those three little letters, A, S, and K. God expects us, just as any other father, to ask him for things, to communicate with him, to call him daddy. As we call him daddy, you know, say, in the beginning, God created the heaven, daddy. You know, so you got to change some words around so that it makes some sense to you. That's what we were trying to show you, that
First of all, let's put things in order. There was an order. There was some things that happened in the order that they happened in. Do you know what that order was? And we just wanted to share some of that order with you. We're going to do it again. But we think that it wasn't too hard to follow in there, but we're just trying to show you a little picture, you know, like Jesus, what he did. He sat at the top of the hill, and he told some stories. And so we was unfolding the story, and I was sharing with you that I was having a Bible study with my grandson. I found out that he didn't know that there was a hell. He said, I knew it was a heaven, but I didn't know it was a hell. I'm like, where did I fall short to where this boy was 12 years old and didn't know that there was a hell? So I'm saying this to you because you got some in your home. Do they know about heaven and hell? Do they know about right and wrong? Do we just presume that they know that the wages of sin is death? And where they can get eternal life from? Do they really know what we know? Or are they dealing with what they see on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter? They partners, they peas. They BFFs and all them other acronyms that's out there. Who are they getting their information from? Are you monitoring the things that they're saying? And, you know, I even, you know, acknowledge those that are listening that's on Facebook. I want to kind of scold you just a little bit. To be careful what you put on your social pages because, you know, everybody's listening. And everybody's watching. And you will lose your subjects. You will lose your credibility over something so easy. See, because God threw our sins in the sea of forgiveness. But man is just like Satan. He'll say, oh, I forget you, but I ain't going to never forget. And I shared with you a few months back about putting things in order so that you can work on your relationships. And I'm proud to say that a relationship that I had that was very strained got unstrained, and I just praise God for that. When you love someone and you have a strained relationship with them, you need to do all that you can to unzap that relationship and get it back on track. I got kinfolk that is mad with their mama. A whole family full of kids, and they mad at their mama. Now, their mama's a church-going woman, but she's just stubborn in her ways. You know, it's not the end of the world, but they can turn around and lose their mama, and then they're going to be crying over her body. Because of something that could have been fixed right here while they're still on the earth. And so I'm saying to all of you, don't get your pride out of the way. Step over that pride. Stomp it if you have to. Put a hurting on the pride. And, you know, you got one mama. You got one daddy. You can't pick your family. You know, you got cousins, you got good cousins and bad cousins, good uncles and bad uncles, good granddads and bad granddads, good grandmas and bad grandma, but they're still yours. So pray to God that God will change them just as he has changed us. And I praise God for all of the intercessors because we were talking about the intercessors earlier. Those of us that pray often, daily, if you pray for anybody besides yourself, you're an intercessor. And if you don't pray for nobody but yourself, you need to become an intercessor. You need to put yourself in a position to want to be a help to others. What has happened in this world, we in the me and the I syndrome, you know, especially those of us that's in America. We always talk about, you know, the great American dream, you know, the house, the car. You know, 2.5 kids, picket fence, you know, dog and a cat. You know, we want a good job. Where did all that come from? We've been brainwashed to believe that that's the way life is. But really, God said that we're to be entrepreneurs. We're to be the lender, the lender and not the borrower. But most of us are in debt up to our kazoo. And that's a thing also that really goes against our witness. And so I beseech you, which is I'm begging you to, begin to use the tools and the weapons to combat the enemy and poverty out of your life so that you can leave a man, especially leave an inheritance for your great-great-grandchildren. So that means you got to be rich, rich in houses and land. You got to be rich in thoughts, deeds, and action. Now, how do you get there? You get there through Christ Jesus. God, it's God's desire for you to have these things. He don't expect you to bust nobody in the head. He don't expect for you to work so hard that you're not going to enjoy your family because he expects you to lead God and direct your family. But if you ask him what your profession ought to be, then he would lead God and direct you and clear the way for you. He gives you favor in all things among men and God. Remember, he made us in his image and in his likeness. And if we follow in his steps, we become to the path of perfectness.
It is that path to success that God has already ordained for you. I mean, now, it's the same thing that we talked about earlier in the podcast. God has already laid out a path to success for you. He's already ordained a path of success for you. Your only requirement is to follow that path. I have thoroughly, thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed this time, this fellowship that we've been able to share together tonight. Now, I will ask if there are any comments or questions about what we've shared with you tonight. And by saying that, I'm saying that the lines are now open. Can we go ahead and open the lines? Anything you have to say, comment or question about anything that we talked about tonight, we are opening that opportunity right now. Make sure that if you want to get in and say something, whether it be question or comment, that you press 1 to get into the conversation, and you get the line opens up for you for your comments or your question. The lines are open.
Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Can you all hear me?
Amen.
Amen. Glory be to God. This is Sister Tammy Weatherspoon in Gary, Indiana. I'm a member of Living Way Christian Center, and I just wanted to thank you all for allowing God to use you again to bring us the Word of God, teaching us the importance of the family unit, the father and the home, and that's just something I'm looking forward to being established upon the Christ in my home. And I just thank God every time you all come on that you bring the truth to us in scripture. Bless God for you all. Thank you.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
God bless you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And we pray that that you get the desires of your heart. You know, it's God's will that we receive the desires of our heart.
Thank you. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. This is Prophetess Teresa. I have been sitting here just being blessed with the word of God as you both are expounding on it and with such clarity. And I know that those that are on the line can really appreciate the clarity, you know, how you, Prophet Corey and Apostle, how you just broke it down. And, you know, you appreciate how God is, I appreciate how God is using the both of you, you know, just talking about the earth was without form and how God just in the beginning, he was, even Jesus was before the beginning, and just those prophetic words, revelation just coming forth. And again, I usually listen to the broadcast over after the broadcast between now and next week, but I do appreciate family. And you're talking about the family unit, and you kind of went a lot of places, but I appreciate all of it because it's like good food. But it is so important to be able to sit at the table and just eat some solid food. And when you mention family, relationships that are so important, relationships are so important, and I do value relationships, so being able to you let the Lord fix relationships, and through prayer, as Prophet Corey talked about prayer and being able to go in the secret place and just get in God's presence and pray. It is something that God has ordained for his people to do. Ask, seek, and knock. Yes, and the door shall be open. So, again, I can't say enough, but I just thank you both for just loving on God enough once again to just sow this time into God's kingdom, building up his people. And I know a lot that are on the line don't have comments, but truly they show up and they're being blessed. So I just thank you once again and to let you know that Kingdom Daughters, we love you both very much, and we definitely keep you and your families lifted up in prayer. And again, I'm blessed with the warfare hour.
Amen. God bless you. And we thank God for that encouragement. It just, it's one of those things that can, that just gives you strength to keep on going in doing what you're doing, because of the fact that people are encouraging us through their comments, and you know, through the fact that you all are telling us that you're being blessed by what the Lord has given us. And it continues to charge us, you know, with that jolt of desire, you know, for us to move forward and continue on in these things, and, you know, in this work, because this is the work we do. This is the work we do. So we thank God and trust that we love Kingdom Daughters, Kingdom Builders, just as much, because you guys continue to, you know, stand with us and for us, you know.
Well, we always say to God be the glory here in the city of glory. Again, we thank Apostle Emmons. You know, he, you know, is such an inspiration to us that, you know, and all the things that he do, you know, to allow us to, you know, to meet and congregate here in an atmosphere of peace and humility and trust and to create a wonderful atmosphere that's conducive to our going forth with the teach word. And so we thank you, you know, for sharing with us. Perhaps there's one or two others. We will afford you the opportunity. Otherwise, we're going to allow the prophetess to come with any announcements because we want to make sure that you recognize that the Kingdom Daughters and the Kingdom Builders have somebody on the air 24 hours 24 hours a day, 7 days, well, at least 7 days a week. 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Somebody, they have somebody before you that they've prayed about and asked God to send them some folks with some food, and the table, so that the table is spread every day. And I don't know a whole lot of ministries that's able to do that. So I tip my hat to Kingdom Daughters and Kingdom Builders International. And they're just moving in leaps and bounds. They're creating new things for the ministry, providing us with tools and things that we can use to enhance our ministries. And so we're going to allow them to do their announcements, unless there's others that would like to partake and give comments. Amen.
Well, amen. Again, to God be the glory for sure. We press into his presence so that his glory may be released upon God's people. And again, I just want to just make a brief announcement. We do have our Prophetic Intercessors Conference coming up once again the third week in April 2013. So we are in the preparation stage, and we're excited about that. And again, that will be in the Detroit, Michigan area. That has been requested. So we were going to do it in August, but it has been requested for April. So we're working on that, and we want to encourage all our listeners to save your money, get prepared so you can join in with us so we can all be blessed together. Again, our early morning prayer, early shall I seek thee. The Lord said if we seek him early, we'll find him. We are in prayer 5 days a week, Monday through Friday at 5 a.m. Central Time. You may, if you want to join us, you feel free to do, bring your prayer request. We're there. You can call us at 218-895-0280, and then just press in the word pray, which is the number 7729. And we're serious about pouring into God's people and praying to our Father to produce a change. We're not praying amiss. We're looking for manifestations. We're looking for healing and deliverance. Yes, 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 we stay there until we see a change. So I want to encourage everyone on our listeners, even those that listen in archives, you can call us in to get a prayer request. And again, with the Blog Talk Radio, we're here 7 days a week between the hours of 7, normally between 7 and 9 or 8 and 10, but we try to do at least 2 hours per day. But if we're not, of course, you can go into our archives and listen to us. The men and women of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yes, we're excited about it. Then our monthly empowerment at Living Way Christian Center, our church home, with our pastor, Apostle Leonard Emmons, is our pastor, 235 West 40th in the city of Gary, Indiana. So we're there every first Saturday celebrating. On this, on the next first Saturday, which will be November 3rd, we'll be there. We'll be bringing forth our own sister in Christ, Sister Tammy Weatherspoon. She'll be bringing the word. So we're encouraged. Father, we thank you for this hour of power. Lord God, we just bless those that are on the line, Father. We bless, Lord God, the apostle and even the prophet, Lord God, that you've given us, God. We just bless you for their lives, their family, their wives, and every single thing that concerns them. Father, we plead the blood of Jesus on the foundations of their being, Lord God. We just pour buckets of the blood of Jesus around them. We draw a bloodline up. And we just thank you, Father, that you're moving in their lives. Father, that you are producing a harvest. We thank you, Father, that their fruit shall remain. And we thank you, Lord God, that everything that concerns them, Lord God, concern you. And, Father, we just lift them up with the blood of Jesus. We thank you, Father, for the children. We thank you for their grandchildren. We even thank you, Lord God, for their friends. Father, we just ask you right now to just keep their hearts lined up with you, Father. Keep, Lord God, their walk, Father God. Everything, Lord God, that they have desired, Father, when they pray, Father, we ask you, Lord God, to produce the harvest. And, Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask you to restore, refresh, renew, Father, their lives, their bodies, and even when they lay down to sleep tonight, Lord God, we just ask you for sweet sleep, Lord God. Father, in the name of Jesus, they go about to go to their homes, Father, encamp your angels around them. Keep your angels, Lord God, to lead, guide, and direct them, Father. And we send your angels out to make successful their way. And when they get there, Lord God, that the blessings of your manifestation shall come forth. In the mighty name of Jesus, we lift up the warfare hour. We lift up their ministries, Father, and we thank you, Lord God, that they're coming in from the north, south, east, and west. We thank you, Lord God, that the manifestation that you have ordained them to this earth, that the manifestation is being produced now in the name of Jesus. We thank you, and no weapon formed against them, this prayer shall prosper. We thank you, Father God, for the harvest. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, amen, and glory to God.
Amen. Hallelujah. And we just praise God for that wonderful prayer of covering and of enlightenment and of encouragement. We just praise God for you and for you and your family as well. You're a beacon of light in this dark and dreary world, prophetess. Praise be to Evangelist Hannah and to all of the intercessors, Tammy and Apostle Emma's, all the Living Way family, all those that listen in every week, the Warriors for Christ family, the Kingdom Atmosphere family, the, oh my God, just everybody that has just been a blessing to us. And the now we got the, you know, we got the our family. The warfare our family.
Yes.
It's growing. The warfare our family, the Facebook family. We just seem so appreciative that God is that his word and his truth is going out, and we ask continue to pray that God gives us what you need. We need it to, you know, it cuts going and coming, those things that we've said and done. It cuts us first. Sometimes there's some hard stuff to talk about. sometimes we're going through things ourselves, but we got to be obedient to what God says. And sometimes we already have something prepared, or sometimes we get here and God says, we got to change up a little bit. And so we pray that God, you know, has a great variety and that you continue to listen. And God bless you and keep you. And we're going to let the prophet say goodbye. And thank you for being with us.
Amen, amen. Well, this has been the Warfare Hour. This has been the Warfare Hour. We ask now that if you are desiring to keep in contact with us, get us on Facebook. The Apostle Carlton Earl Clark Richardson, that's Carlton with a K2N. Or you can contact us at facebook.com/ Corey Graddick or Kingdom Atmosphere Ministry, whichever one. But we just want to hear from you. You can get in contact with the Kingdom Daughters and Kingdom Builders at kingdombuildersplaza.org. KingdomBuildersPlaza.org and leave them a message. If you want to, or you go to Blog Talk Radio, @ Kingdom Builders International, and just listen to us anytime you decide to get ready. But I'm telling you this, God bless you, God keep you, God love you, we love you, and we thank God for you. And we want to say to you right now, good night.
Anybody want to press a little further? Anybody want to press a little further? Somebody lift your voice into the Lord. Tell him, God, I want to press a little further. Press in your presence. Woo! Come on, we're about to get out of your way, but we want to press a little further. Amen.
I will be whole. I'll still believe.